Are you a real and prospering Christian? That's the question that I'm going to attempt to answer tonight. And the first part of that is, are you a Christian? So I want to look at what it takes to be a Christian. So if you would turn to Acts chapter 16, these are going to be familiar verses for the next couple minutes. Acts 16 and starting in verse 30. Let's see if I can find it. 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, all right, so he's asking, what must I do to be saved? So that question, are you a Christian? That's what this man's asking. He's saying, what do I have to do to be a Christian? And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So what you have to do to be a Christian is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you have to believe on? Well, the Bible tells us that each and every one of us are sinners. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And sin is something that can never enter into heaven. And each of us have that. And we have to believe, it says in Hebrews 9:22, that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But remission, if you don't know, remission is another word for forgiveness. So without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But the Bible says that there is someone that did shed his blood for each and every one of us, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in John 5:24, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. John 5:24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." So here it's saying that he that heareth God's word, heareth what the gospel, and believeth on him that sent me, or believeth on the Father, hath everlasting life. So if you believe on the Father and believe that he came to this earth and died for your sins, then you're saved. Now, how many of you have ever heard of the painter Bob Ross? He used to be on the Public Broadcasting Network, and he'd paint with little knives. And he would paint what he called happy little trees. And he would be like, "You can just put this happy little tree over here, and it can just, you know, be doing whatever, you know, just have fun with it. Have fun with it." People believe, a lot of Christians, I believe, are like that happy little tree. They're in the picture of salvation. And so they can just kind of be doing whatever they want to do. They're just a happy little tree doing whatever they want. But that isn't what the Bible says. In Matthew 13, if you turn there. Well, Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which, when a man hath found it, he goeth and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has and buyeth the field." Okay, I want you to imagine right now that you're going to buy a house. Maybe your family's growing, or you're going to be your first house, and the real estate agent has gone in the other room, and you realize that there's this panel that moves, and you slide it away, and you see in the wall is all this money. Just a ton of money. And then you slide the board back, and the real estate agent comes in and he says, "This house and everything that's still in it goes to whoever buys it." So you know that if you buy it, that everything in that house belongs to you. And you can tell that that money is enough to pay for that house and even more. So what are you going to do? You're going to want to go and to buy that house. So you're going to sell everything that you have. If you have to sell your clothes and your car and your house, you're going to go and do that so that you can buy that house, because that is so much more. Not only have you gotten that house, but you've gotten the wealth that comes with it. You've gotten the extra things. And this is referring to the Christian life. We should give up everything that we have so that we can go and live for Christ. And so each and every one of us should give up what we have so that we can go and live fully for Christ. Now, how many of you have a computer? The computer? Okay. Imagine that the Christian life is like a computer. When you first get it, it's fast, it works good, you know, you're excited about it. But then after a while, it starts, you know, it gets slower, and it's not special anymore. It's just down there with all the rest. What, some of you that have computers, what most likely happens to your computer if it's running slow? You have a what? A virus or spyware, right. So what you have to do is you have to get an antivirus software. God has provided us with an antivirus software, the Bible. So, okay, so I'm a new Christian, and I realize that I need this antivirus software to get rid of the things that are hindering me in my life. So I get it, and I've got it, and then I sit it down right there, and then that's all. Are my problems going to go away? No, what you have to do is you have to apply it. So we've got God's Word, and we have to scan. That's the first step. If you have the antivirus software, you have to scan. So you have to read God's Word, and you have to see what is wrong. You have to see those things that are wrong. Now, each and every one of us, none of us can be... none of us can be as good as Christ. So each and every one of us has more that we can grow. Because on this earth, we're never going to be perfect. So each and every one of us has more that we can go. And so we have to scan and we see those things wrong. So right now, I know every one of us has it. Think of one thing in your life. You scan your life, just a quick scan, and it's one thing that you know is hindering your walk with Christ. Each and every one of us have it, I know. Okay, so you've scanned and you have that thing, and now you know, all right, if I get rid of that, then my walk with Christ is going to go great. All right, there we go. I know what's wrong and I know what needs to be fixed. What do you have to do then? You have to fix it. You have to get rid of that problem. That's what so many people don't want to do. They go, and then they read their Bible and they check and they find out what they need to change, but they don't go that extra step to be a prospering Christian or a fruitful Christian. In Matthew 7, verse 21, if I can get to it. 7:21, it says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And the name has cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." What this verse is saying, people are going to say, "Lord, I've done things for you," but the fact was they did them with the wrong attitude, and they aren't really. They're crying out for to help for the Lord. They're crying out to the Lord for help because saying, "Okay, I've done something," but really it's nothing that we've done. There's a story that I heard of a sculptor, an ancient sculptor, I believe his name was Phobius or something of that sort, and he spent years sculpting this big, beautiful golden statue. And it was the most magnificent thing anyone had ever seen, and he put it. He was finished with it, and then down in the bottom corner, just real little, he signed his name in the sculpture, and then the people realized that they could not worship that anymore because it was no longer a symbol of God, but it was a symbol of man's craftsmanship. I believe many of us try to do that. We take a work that we've done and we're like, okay, this was God's work. This was something that God did, but I had a little say-so down here in the corner. But the Bible says that we should go wholeheartedly for Him, that we should take off the old self. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is also a familiar verse to many of us. 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." So, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So everything old has to be passed away. Our old self wants to think, okay, I did this. This was mine. I earned this thing, or I painted that picture. It was all me. But what we need to do is become totally separated from that. And if we do something, that it was God. We're responsible for all of our failures and none of our successes. Each of those is of Christ. How many of you have ever kept a garden before? Kept a garden? Okay, when you keep a garden, what is your goal in keeping that garden? To get fruit from it. I don't know what your favorite fruit is, a tomato. If you want to get a tomato, then you're going to take special care of your garden so that you can get that. So if you see bugs in your garden, what are you going to do? You're going to get rid of them. If that means smashing them or getting pesticides or whatever. So you do that one day and you're like, okay, all the bugs are gone. Does that mean the bugs aren't going to come back? No. The bugs are going to be back the next day. So it's the same way with our Christian life. We might get rid of that problem, but if we don't continue to scan with our antivirus software and get rid of those problems all the time, then they're going to creep back. The Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and also as a snake who sneaks into our lives and what we're doing, and he makes us think that we're doing it for Christ when really we're doing it for self. And we have to be wary of that. If you'll turn to, let me make sure I can tell you the right thing. Colossians chapter 3, I believe. All right, yeah. Starting in verse 1. If ye be risen with Christ, which is saying if you are a Christian, seek these things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked with some when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is kind of going back to that other verse. We should be a new creature. This speaks of all the things that we should put away, the things that we should no longer have. So now we've scanned and we've gotten rid of the problems. Now what's the next step? We're a new man. Now we have to go and live for Christ. We have to, if you have a computer and you've got a virus on it and it's really slow, once you get rid of that virus, then it's fast and you want to use it. You want to do something with it. So what we should do, if we have our Christian life and we get rid of those hindrances, we should want to do what Christ says in his word. So we're going to look at some of the evidences of being Christian, which we have. But one of those, if you are a Christian, you're going to go through suffering. And that's, in order to go through suffering, you have to do something that deserves suffering. If you're a Christian that just comes to church on Sundays and nobody ever sees you, then you're just living a lukewarm life, not really doing much. But we should be Christians that are going full speed for God with no hindrances. And then we're going to have persecution. Let's look at how we should respond to persecution. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. This is talking about the apostles. And we'll start at verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Okay, how many of you have ever got a spanking? I'm going to raise both hands on this one. My mother and father believed in that, and if I was beaten for something that I did, in love, of course, and if I was beaten, then I wasn't about to go and do that thing again. That told me, no, stop that right now. And so that's what they were hoping would happen to the apostles. But they didn't have any hindrances. They were going full speed for Christ. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoice in iniquity and in trials and tribulations. So we're going full speed for Christ and we've gotten rid of that. And then we go through trials and we should rejoice in those trials. Now, the thing we always have to remember that we always seem to forget is if we're going in that Christian life that we think, oh, okay, well, this stuff isn't going to hinder me anymore. And I already said this, but it's going to come back just like those bugs in the garden. It's going to pop up when you're least expecting it. I believe a lot of people like me were saved at a young age and thought, oh, well, I'm in a Christian family. That stuff's just not going to happen to me, you know? And so what the devil does is he comes up with the things that we're not expecting. And he comes and hits us with those. And we should respond to those as Paul did. I forgot to write the reference down. But Paul, he talks about having a thorn in his flesh. And he says he prayed over and over that God would take it away. But it didn't go away. And it reminded him that he wasn't perfect. And it reminded him that he still needed God's help. And we always need God's help. And we should always strive to avoid that thorn in the flesh, whatever it may be, and go on for Christ. And another evidence of being a Christian, just slipped my mind. I had it there just a second ago. I don't remember it right now. But we should be fruitful Christians. So what do we have to do to be fruitful? Like somebody that's taking care of the gardens, you get rid of those bugs, so what? So you can get a bigger fruit. So you can get a more beautiful fruit. Which one, when it comes time to sell your produce, are you going to be more honored to sell? That big, beautiful red tomato or the one that's got a little bug bite out of it and doesn't look so good? If you're going to give that to someone as a gift, the person's going to appreciate the small one because you give that to them. But how much more are they going to appreciate the one that they know that you put your time into and that you cared for? It's just like that with our lives. We're growing in order that we can make ourselves a sacrifice to God. We're going to be His bride one day, and we should make it so that we are the best that we can be. He's going to appreciate if we're a Christian, even if we're that little tomato. But how much more and how much greater it will be for us if we can say, God, you were able to do this through me. But a lot of people say, okay, I'm a Christian. I'm giving God my life. He's got complete control. But the fact is, if God can take complete control of our lives, then why is self-control one of the fruits of the Spirit? Each and every one of us, we have to control ourselves and be open to what God has to say. He's not going to just make it easy for us. The Bible says that we're going to go through trials and we have to rejoice in those. And it's not just going to be easy. We have to control ourselves and at the same time as doing that, always be open to God's will and to what He has. And that I pray that each and every one of us here, I know it would be silly to think that everyone in here is a Christian. And if you're not a Christian in here today and you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus, don't even wait till this meeting is over. If I would be glad to stop right now and share with you how you can have Christ as your Savior. And there are many people in here. If you're not saved, then talk to me afterwards or go and talk to one of the others in here. And they'll show you not only how you can be saved, but more about how you can live a Christian life where you don't have the viruses or the bugs that are hindering you and that you can go on and live for Christ. And I pray that each and every one of us would be able to do that. And I think I'm out of time, so I'm going to close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, for this heat. And I thank you for those of us that have air conditioners, especially the one that got it today. I thank you for that blessing that you've given us. And I pray that each of us here tonight, I pray that we've learned something from what you had to say through me, and I pray that we would apply it and that we would all go and be Christians that don't have any hindrances and those things that are holding us back that we would hit the fix button and get rid of. I just pray all this in your son's name. Amen.